Hey gang, thank you for joining us today at the Culture Coaching Podcast here at Priority Learning. I'm Mike McKean, sitting here online with Ralph Twombly, one of the owners and operators of Priority Learning. How are you today, Ralph?
I am terrific, Mike. It's good to see your face.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. So today we're going to be talking a little bit more about the online learning scene. And not just what Priority Learning does, which we've talked with Craig before a little bit about some of the things that Priority Learning does online, but more just about the online interaction, the culture around online learning. And it's not even necessarily online learning. A lot of meetings and projects these days are being passed around, being discussed online, versus specifically, the online learning environment, which is a little bit different, but pretty much goes hand in hand with the technology today.
So, Mike, let me start off a little bit by providing a little bit of background, because if you send me an email, it always goes to Ralph at PriorityLearningResearch.com, which implies that we spend a fair amount of our lives knee-deep, sometimes waist-deep, in research. So I was doing some research a while back, and one of the things that I found out that there was a big research thing where they were asking people how they like to receive their learning. Now, we found out that technical things like learning PowerPoint, Word, maybe a software package, almost everybody preferred online. They would prefer to learn that by tutorials or something like that, right? Which is probably e-learning, but it's done in front of a computer screen and that kind of stuff. We also found out that the way they wanted to receive their leadership work was face to face with somebody that wasn't their boss. So inside their companies, they were more than willing to learn, even across departments, if you're a large company, technology. As leadership, they wanted to learn everything outside from a third party. I thought that was an absolutely fascinating thing, because first of all, it perpetuates our work, but it also, on top of that, it validates what a lot of us really think, is that when you're in space with somebody, like when you and I are 10 feet away from one another, there's a very different dynamic than they are when you're online. So our work post-pandemic, I think pandemic taught us a lot, taught us how to use Teams and Zoom and a lot of other things that put everybody remote, and people were literally running staff meetings remotely and one-on-one and conducting performance reviews and all that kind of stuff remotely. What we also found out is that people can be very productive in an online world. So fast forward to 2024, which is at this point, we're in September 2024, as you and I make this. And we find out that there's a gradual, not a flood, a gradual migration back to work, at least half time. At least half time. And I'm suspicious as to whether it will ever go back to full time. Because I think we found a sweet spot in our society where we know we can get a lot of stuff done and then go do the laundry and walk the dog, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. And I do think it gives people a touch of what we'd call entrepreneurial life. In other words, one of the things, great things, and you can echo this, one of the great things about entrepreneurial life, we make our own schedule. If we do our best work at 10 at night, then we can do our best work at 10 at night. But we always feel like we need to, if we need to get up now because I'm hungry for lunch, I get up and eat lunch, right? So I think not everybody, most people are tied to a tighter schedule. But so we found out, and I was just asked by a good friend who was in here an hour ago, how much of our work we're doing online. So I would say that not me, but with Craig, who's here, does about probably half of all his work online. So, Mike, you do a real bunch of work online. What do you see as the difference between online learning and face-to-face learning? Give me your thoughts.
Well, it's interesting because when I was sitting down and talking with Craig, he was saying that he realized there was a really big difference between one-on-one online, one-on-one to one to one to one, which is having multiple people in a Zoom call, and having one and multiple people in one room. So, because a lot of the work he does is with multiple people in a conference room having a Zoom call with him or whatever, Teams, whatever the technology is, but he's the talking head on the wall and the team is there doing the work together. And I thought that was a really interesting forward dynamic that should be becoming more and more popular, because I think when you're doing, and that's the kind of work that, is involved with those workshops and coaching sessions and all that stuff. But when you have people in the same room together, the synergy you create is not just intellectual. You know what I mean? There is an atmosphere, what the younger generation would call the vibe. You know what I mean? There is a dynamic between two physical individuals who are sharing a space and having any kind of interaction, whether it's, playing sports or romantic or an intellectual discussion. There is a very different physical dynamic in that than there is when you're having a conversation with someone online. You very much have to use all of your observational senses to assume certain things, that whereas if you're in the presence of someone, there's a lot more body movement, there's a lot more than just what you can see and hear to pick up just certain languages and, like I say, body movements that tell you how somebody else is feeling. We have to do a lot of assumption on that online. We have to, in a little bit, bolster our confidence and our egos in a bit to carry that confidence and say, no, I have to go with this assumption right now. And maybe that'll blow up in my face. Usually it's not that serious, but that can still alter a conversation or an interaction or a learning experience, especially in a way that wouldn't necessarily happen when you're in person. Basically, it kind of creates a very fuzzy, soft barrier, I feel like, between you and the other individual.
I like it, Mike. That's a good take. And I think that the way I've always thought about it is, first of all, I want to kind of own up to one of my own biases. We first started doing it, I really had this mindset that said nothing ever could replace face-to-face interaction. Well, I found out after doing through the pandemic, we did some online programs and they weren't horrible. They were actually pretty good experiences. And people tell me later, they got just tons and tons from them. And you can do more than you think you can. How's that? And I'm a little bit of a guy who loves the social part of my work. In other words, I love to see people face to face. I love to be within arm's distance of people because I do think the dynamic is really exciting. And you know how that moment is when you meet somebody for the first time and you go, oh my God, I could spend all day with that person. Or you want to run away from them like they're on fire. That is one of those things that's missing in the online process. You're just talking to another two-dimensional shape. And I think they're limiting. I would honestly tell people, though, that if they're looking for a hard and fast yes or no, I'm not going to be the guy. I think it's harder from a leadership angle to lead online groups. I can honestly say that it's really harder for me because I like to roam. I roam around a room a bit. I get not uncomfortably, I hope, but close to people. I like the sound of my voice changes as I move around. We do a lot of video, which is harder to do online, that kind of stuff, right? And so we lose a fair amount of that. But the big piece the audiences miss out, and we know this because sometimes we'll start with a group where five of them are online and five of them are in the room. And by the time that we get done, they're eight are in the room and two are online. And part of it is if they're anywhere nearby, they'd rather come in because they miss the dynamic of working closely with one another. We've been doing that for millions of years. So, that's one of those things you miss out on pretty quickly. So I would tell you that I don't think it's ever going away completely. I would tell you that online learning will be a thing. I go back to the very first guy who set up my web page and told me I should really spend a lot of time on e-learning. And I pretty much poo-pooed his idea and moved on, which at the time probably was right. But the pandemic brought it to life.
Yeah.
And I think now for at least for the foreseeable future, it'll be a way of life for all of us. So I guess we could wrestle with it if we'd like, but I'd rather embrace it, figure out how to do it. I don't think I'd ever be interested in running an organization that was truly just online. Wouldn't be
Yeah.
fascinating enough for me. But I think the days of having an audience, everybody in the room all the time, may be behind us.
Yeah, no, I agree. I very much feel like the pandemic kind of brought everything in focus in a way that was like, all right, well, we need to separate. And this is, it's funny how many people go like, oh, you can't take away my freedom and make me quarantine. And it's like, dude, this has happened dozens of times in human history where the public has been like, no, go home and quarantine. And yeah, it stinks, but it's the safest thing to do for society for a little bit. And having that kind of availability of this new technology, this is the first time that we've run into anything near this kind of situation where it was, nope, everybody's going to be best to stay isolated for right now, but we still have so much access to each other. And it really just kind of all folded in to say, okay, you know what? We actually have a lot of these solutions to continuing our lives, our economy, all of these things about society, even though we're still isolating. So I think it was a very worthwhile lesson to sit there and realize the power of this technology and almost be forced to apply it into our daily work and educational lives.
I agree, Mike. One of the early lessons I learned was that for years and years, as I was starting this business, one of the things you would do is somebody call up and they'd say, we're thinking of doing something, let's get together. And so we'd get together for a cup of coffee or we'd go have a lunch or something. Well, that's now turned into let's do a team conversation.
Yeah.
Now, what we do, I remember early in the business life of every once in a while, because somebody's schedule wasn't like my schedule, you'd get stood up for a cup of coffee. Those things don't happen anymore. And it's so much easier for people to basically say, can we talk a little bit? I'd like you to facilitate this program. And let's catch up on Teams for half an hour. You save
And
time, you save money, you save energy, and you still get the same thing done. So.
When you do occasionally get stood up on a Zoom or a Teams call or a Google meeting call, you're usually sitting right there at your computer doing work anyway and going, all right, well, it's been 15 minutes. I'm just going to get out of here and go on with my day and send an email. Hey, hope you're okay. Let me know when you want to reschedule.
Exactly right,
It's
Mike.
usually.
So it really is a big advantage. And I tell people all the time, I'd say, in terms of working with brand new clients or even clients who just want 10 minutes of your time, sometimes we have multiple part projects where we would start the project by getting buy-in from individuals. Teams is the best thing ever
Yeah.
to do that, you know?
So, what should we look forward to with the future of this online learning?
Well, I have some wishes, I guess, along with hopes. And one of the wishes that I have is I hope and wish that the technology will continue to get better. I think it's hard enough. I think you're a bit of a Zoom guy. We do a lot more on Teams. We were working with another one. I think everybody's vying for the same space. I think once we get over that particular thing, I think the technology will get easier and faster and better. And we found out the cameras are getting better and all that
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
stuff. The setup we have here at Priority Learning to do online learning is actually pretty good, but we've invested lots of money. So here, it's here to stay. I don't think we can think it's going to go away. I also think that it's going to get better. I don't think it'll ever, Mike, at least I hope it doesn't ever get better than face to face. I like the interaction. I know there's almost a kinesthetic thing that we do between people that is invaluable. I mean, that's how you know when a kid comes home from school and says school is good, and you know it wasn't. It's not because it's because you're close enough to know what they're feeling,
Yeah.
and that's how our work goes many times. You know, in order to truly read an audience, you have to have an audience in front of you. So it's an interesting dynamic, and I think that's what the future will be. Your business is built a lot. This whole podcast and video business that you do is built remote to some degree, right?
Yeah. It's funny because doing audio and video production, 9 times out of 10, honestly, 95 times out of 100, I'm not leaving my place to create content. You know, it's there sometimes where I'll go on site and record some video, but a lot of the times it is people will send me the video to edit because they have the capabilities to do the recording themselves. It's not the most complicated thing. I actually just did a video on that, which by the time anybody listens to this will have come out probably a month or so ago. But I just did a video about how it really isn't that complicated to make your own video content. Really, where it gets complicated is if you want to edit and do anything that is more fancy in terms of a graphic or just more advanced video nature. But a lot of the times the apps that you're posting these videos on have the editing tools on there anyway. So yeah, it is an interesting dynamic that a lot of the time everything is just happening online these days. But I agree that face to face, being in person, is very important. I don't think that is ever going to go away. At least I agree in hoping that it doesn't. And I think that we kind of figured out with the pandemic that there is a balance that we want to have to this, that we don't necessarily want to say, all right, everything has to be online and that gives me freedom because yeah, it's nice to be able to do that from anywhere. But there really is a value to sitting down with someone, especially when you're working on a project or when you're educating them. And it has a lot more of that, like I was saying before, those communications that you need all five senses for.
I agree. I agree. Hey, this has been great. Thanks for asking.
Yay, absolutely. Well, Ralph, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. If you are interested in these, and this is the first time that you've come across the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast, make sure you go to PriorityLearningResearch.com to find the rest and also find all the other good work that Priority Learning is doing. You can also find this podcast pretty much in all the other major areas that you can find podcasts, from Apple Music to Spotify to all the other fun places. So, Ralph, thank you again for sitting down with us and sharing your time, and we'll catch you guys next time at the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast.